Good to have everyone back. Last time we began to explore Hilchos Yichud within, and we saw the way the opening sugya in Kiddushin on Peyim Beis. The Mishnah introduced us to the Isra of Yichud, and we saw that the Gemara raised two very parallel questions: Amai Taima Menorah Mili, Amai Taima, for which the Gemara answered with a svara, nashim daitin kalas, a psychological observation, and menohani mili, which the Gemara answered with a drasha from the psukim of Mesis in Parashas Re'eh. And what unfolded, was that it seems that according to most, if not all, of Rishonim, the Isra of Yichud is in Isra Daraisa. So there's some debate about what the Rambam's opinion is. But the Isra Yichud is Aser Min HaTorah for some, if not all Rishonim, and that's based on the Menorah Mili. Menorah Mili is the language that tends to introduce a Drasha Daraisa. On the other hand, the language of Remez, Liyichud HaTorah, that sounds a little more like Asmachta. The Makiv Patish, or the Kasav HaShlishi Shiachriya, is that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, says clearly that Yichud of Bas Yisrael is Daraisa. The Gemara there had said Yichud of Bas Yisrael is Daraisa, but it's only Yichud Arayos. Penuya is Rabbanan, that's an ancient gzer that goes back to the days of David HaMelech. And then a more recent, relatively speaking, a more recent gzer Rabbanan is the gzer Rabbanan in the days of Hillel and Beisil Beishamai, Yichud of Anachros. So what appears to emerge is that there is an Isra Yichud Api Pashas Daraisa. Again, we said even according to the Rambam's language is somewhat fluid. So most, if not all, Rishonim hold there is an Isra Yichud Min HaTorah. However, that Isra Yichud only applies if you have two conditions in place. Or I should say that Isra is Daraisa only if there are two conditions in place. There are situations with no Isra Yichud whatsoever. There's a shomer, or there's parents and children, and so forth. We'll get to that later on. But in situations where there isn't Isra Yichud, so it's going to be deraisa rather than drabanan if two conditions are met. Number one, al pi pashas, the Isra Yichud deraisa is only when it's a one-on-one situation. That's what the Chumash describes, the Seser. And that's what the Gemara is addressing with the Menorah Nimili. The point that underlies the Mishnah is that there is an Isra of Yichud, and at its core, Yichud is Daraisa, assuming it's just a man and a woman alone, B'Seser. Once you have, it's going to be Drabanan if there's more than two people. That's where the Mishnah begins to differentiate between two men and a woman versus two women and a man. That was the Maitama. It may still be Asr Mitam Siyag if there's enough cause, if there's a sufficient risk of Yichud Lin Taznos, the probability is high enough, so then Chazal imposed an Isra Yichud Midrabanan, namely, typically, Shtei Nashim V'Ishachat, whereas Shnei Anashim V'Ishachat, there isn't even Nashim Midrabanan. But again, what one condition that separates Yichud Arayis from Yichud Rabbanan is a question of numbers. Three is a crowd, so once it's a crowd, it's not B'Seser, it's maximum in Isra Rabbanan. The other factor, that's what we want to dive into now, the other factor that differentiates Yichud Daraisa from Yichud Rabbanan is not just a question of how many, but the question of who. The question of what's the status? Assuming that it's a one-on-one situation, that's what the Gemara had said in Avodah Zarah, that it's only Daraisa if it's Yichud Arayos, Yichud Penuya or Yichud Goya, is Aser, but only Midrabanan. So that's why we want to explore that a little more, and that's going to bring us also to a larger conversation about the nature of the Isra Yichud. So let's take a look. Now again, you saw the Maror Mekomos, just the Rambam gives you some background in terms of the definition, the definition of Arayos. Rambam has a long list at the beginning of Yisurei Bia, 37 or so Isurei Bia. As we began to explore, as we began to explore last time, or two times ago in the introductory shiur, so there is within all the Isurei Bia, there is a subset of Isurei Bia that we refer to as Arayos. And there are various nafkiminas that pertain to Arayos. If it's Gila Arayos, it's not just Asur, but it's Yargva Yavar. If it's Gila Arayos, so typically it generates an Isur of Mamzeris, a status of Mamzeris, if this union gives rise to children. Now, the definition of which situations are considered erva, so that we mentioned the Tanam debated, the halacha lemaisa, we assume whenever there's an Isur kares, that's that whole list in the end of Parshas Achrimos, that I believe is what we lay in Yom Kippur by Mincha, whenever there's an Isur kares, those 20 or so situations, various relatives, various cases of incest, as well as Eshes Ishes on that list, and Nidas on that list in Achrimos, it's an Isur Bia with kares, we'll discuss that more next week. So those are all Arayos. Now the Gemara had presented Yichud Arayos is the Arayosa. Yichud Penuya, that's Drabanan. Yichud Goya, that's Drabanan. So one of the issues that the Nosei Kalim raised is, well, there's a lot of room there. There's a lot of room there. So how about other Yisurim? That's what the that's what the Nosei Kalim here begin to raise that question. Yeah.
Is it clear that the same status that applies to a guy applies to a guy with a Jewish woman?
A guy with a Jewish woman, if she's married, might be an Issur D'oraisa for her.
She's an Issur D'oraisa, but if she's...
If she's a Pnuya, then it's probably...
Well, she's a Nida.
Right, so we have to get back. That's what I have to figure out. If she is a true Pnuya, a non-Karis Pnuya, a non-Nida Pnuya, so then there would probably be, yeah. So this had come up again. So let's go back to the line of Shulchan, which we left off last time. Opening line. Asul his yachedim erva meha arayos. This is the opening line of the Shulchan Aruch Siman Chav Beis. Sif Aleph quoting verbatim or practically verbatim from the language of the Rambam. Asur el zakhin b'erva mei harayos, bein zakeina bein yalda. Asur tev yichud with any everything. Mastoi you mentioned, with Chaim Kanievsky's source for this, bein zakeina bein yalda, as being in the Bereishis Rabba. Avram was concerned about yichud between Yishmael and Sarah, despite Sarah's advanced age. Now you take a look at the Beis Shmuel. We've learned in the...
It's a pasuk. In last week's parsha, is when Avram said, when Hashem tells Avram that, don't worry, Hashem is Avram with Sachik, then Hashem says, he's still going to have kids. So maybe that's like said, now is when Yishmuel was just born. He was not even 13 yet, because he didn't even have his bris mila yet. So then that's when Vayera, then when he's older, why wouldn't Avram think that it should be Saul and Isha?
No, so in Vayera, there's a Bereishis Rabba in this week's Parsha.
No, I'm saying is, but in last week's Parsha, Hashem, right at the bris mila of Asarim, Hashem tells Avram, don't worry, you're going to have another kid. And then it says, and Avram says that he's Mitzachik. And then it says that Hashem says, no, you're going to have another kid. It's in Shvi.
Yeah.
So I'm saying is, and that's when Yishmael was young, and Sarah was already, Sarah was already 90 years old. And so
right.
he says, he said, no, she's going to have another kid. So maybe he felt like she's, like based off of that. So the next week's Parsha, Vayera, when Yishmael is a little older, now he's, because he didn't have Bar Mitzvah, because that's the next Parsha after that is, that he gets his bris mila, I'm saying, which was at a 13.
Yeah.
So then maybe that Avram felt like, okay, if Hashem tells me that she's fertile and she's, so maybe that he is.
Ah, okay. So he's saying if she was already at, you have to work out the Rashi's in this week's parasha are a little confusing in terms of when she miraculously returned to biological youth. She's saying if she had returned to biological youth, then maybe it's not such a source because she was back to being a young woman. Maybe that could be. That could be a pushback against that marker. Let's take a look at the Beis Shmuel. Here we are. We've sent Baruch Hashem a couple of years in Yerodea, where there may no Sekelim and Rashi toast the position of the Taz and the Shach. Each of the four Halakim of Shulchan Aruch is a different set of the no Sekelim in those two positions. So in Evan Ezer, it's two that don't appear anywhere else in Shulchan Aruch. The Chalukas Mechokik on the inside and the Beis Shmuel on the outside. So let's take a look at the opening Beis Shmuel. Also, Lehisiached. So he gives you some of the background. That's how he begins. B'shas nilman mikra deki yisizcha chicha ben imecha. This is familiar to us, Baruch Hashem, v'chi ben eim mesis v'lo ben av. Rema ela remez ben misyachir emima. Okay, and he sends you to Tosis in first parak of Shabbos. We had seen a Rashi in Shabbos. Yichud midaraisa aser, that's what the Torah writes. A Rambam kasav, isa yichud min ha-kabal. Deino ela remez mei ha-torah. V'chein ein malkin oso ela makas mardus. Okay. That's quite a mouthful. Beis Shmuel is assuming, sounds like Beis Shmuel is assuming the Rambam holds this non-Isser Daraisa. But he also says, that's why there's no Malkas Marjus, that's why there's no Malkas Daraisa. No Malkas Daraisa because it's not a lav, unless that's all the Beis Shmuel means to say also. That's not a lav, it's merely a drasha. Then he turns his attention to Arayos. The Chalal Arayos, we said before, on the one hand talking about Arayos, now they're talking about the Pnuya and Gaya. So how about a whole slew of Chayav Elav, and how about with the Mamzeres? How about the Kohen and Agusha and so on and so forth? Chayav Elav, and where do they fit in? So the Beis Shmuel says the Klal Aray is Nichla Chayav Elav and Mechein Kasav Prisha. The Prisha, one of the first on the bottom of the of the tour, so he says that Chai Ve'Lavin are also included. Chai Ve'Lavin are also included. You look in the Prisha, where does it come from? We said Arayos. We didn't say Lavin. If a Mamzer is a Mazana with a Bas Yisrael, or a Yisrael is Mazana with a Mamzeres, the child, well, that's a bad example. The child will be a Mamzer because of the identity of the parents. But if a Kohen lives with a grusha, so the child is a chal, but not a mamzer, because it's not the arayos. Right? And Kohen, for Kohen to live with a grusha, for a mamzer to live with the bas Yisrael, is not gila arayos, it's not yahar vayavar. So what's going on here? So there are two rayos that are put forward. Number one, the Prisha himself says, look at that Gemara of Avodah Zarah. We jumped straight from arayos to Pnuya. What happened to Lavin? We didn't stop in the midpoint. So maybe that implies that Lavin already included. The Chazon Ish, the Dvar Halacha and others send you to the Chazon Ish, they had in Aram Kavos, Chazon Ish points out there might be another riot from a Gemara in Sota, very fascinating Gemara in Sota. This is in the first parak. The Mishnais are describing the process of Hashkara Sota. The Mishnah is open with the evidence that needs to be in place to render a woman a Sota Safek. There was a Yichud, specifically a Stira. She was alone with another man. That alone does not render her a Sota, but it's a Stira which was preceded by a Kinoi. There was the husband had made a direct statement to his wife that he suspects that there's infidelity going on, and that as a result, he instructs her not to be alone. Al Tisri Mishploni, don't have Stira with so-and-so. And it's in presence, we pass in the presence of two Edom, Edus Lakiyim Hadavar, sort of the Edus Lakiyim Hadavar that we're familiar with from Kiddushin, in a very happy context. It's also come up in several very tragic contexts, and this is one of them. So there was a Kinoi Bifne Edom, followed by a Stira that we have about which we have testimony. So the combination of those two already create enough of a likelihood that during that act of Stira, there was actually an act of Znos, that she's considered to be a Suffolk Ishazisha, Suffolk Sota, and therefore she's forbidden to continue her marriage with her husband until such time as she, the only way to demonstrate conclusively, absent any, unless it's some, you know, video security camera inside the room, and we can prove that there was no actus nos. The Torah says that if you go through the whole Hashkos Meisota process, if after that she had, does not experience any symptoms, that the lack of a nes is halachic proof that she was not mezana. That's why Ramban points out that there's one case where the halacha relies on nisim, where you have a havtacha, the nes will occur, so much so, if no nes occurred after the whole procedure, that indicates that's sufficient proof that there was no zos. If there would have been zos, Hashkas Meisota would have evoked the symptoms, the swelling and everything, the fatal symptoms that the Chumash describes. So, but the Mishnayis take you through step by step. First the kina and the stira, and then the local Beis Din, the couple come to Beis Din. If Beis Din listens to the case, they say, yeah, this is Hashkas Meisota worthy. Hashkas Meisota has to happen in the Beis HaMikdash. So they send the couple off to the Beis HaMikdash with chaperones. That's what the Mishnah says on Dav Zayin and Sota. The Beis Din will give them two Talmidei Chachamim to accompany them. So Rabbi Yehuda, that's what the Tanakhama says. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. There's no need for anyone to accompany them. Bala neman aleha. There's no problem. They have no Yisra Yichud. They could just head off on their own to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara gets involved in this machlokas, whether there's a Yichud concern or not. Why would there be Yichud concern? Normally, we'll get this more next week, but normally there's no Yisra of Yichud between husband and wife, even when they're also to one another. They're during the part of the month that she's in Nida, there's no Yisra Yichud. The Gemara gets involved in trying to work out this machlokas, Tanna Kama Rabbi Yehuda. Here it's not Isser Nida that's present within the marriage relationship. Here it's an Isser Sota. They are forbidden to be intimate with one another. It's an Isser Lav of Sota until if and when she passes the Mesota ordeal, so then that Isser lifts. But up until that point, she's Asur Misafi. So that's what Tanna Kama says. Look, there's an Isser Yichud because that's how the Gemara seems to understand, at least initially. An Isser Yichud because they're Asur to one another. Us to be intimate with one another, therefore the Isser Yichud as well, because of the din of Isser of Sota. And Yehuda says no. Yehuda says no, he has a Kal v'chomer. If there's no Isser Yichud when she's a Nida, and Nida's Isser Kare, so there's no Isser Yichud when she's a Sota, which is merely a Lav. Now that's intriguing, because it sounds like we're talking level of Daraisa, so Drushas, Kal v'chomers. So Chazon says, one second. What's the whole issue? It's Chayvei Lavin. It's her Sota. They're married to each other. She's not married. She's alone with her husband, not with someone else. The problem is, they're usher to one another as Chayvei Lavin. So the Chaznish says, it's Fair Shigamar. The Gemara is assuming that Yichud with Chayvei Lavin is Issa Doraisa. The discussion is that maybe Sota is different because it's an Isser within the context of a marriage relationship. And the Gemara, Chazanish points out, the Gemara doesn't sound like it's merely talking on a level of Drabanan. It's not just a question of halacha lemaisis and Isser Yichud. The Gemara is handling in drushas. It sounds like we're talking on a level of Daraisa. So those are the two main sources for arguing that Yichud Chayv Elavin is a real Isser D'Oraisa. Now, and that's again, that's the position that the Veshul, on the page of Shulchan Aruch, when the standard notes that Kalim had advanced. The Pizchei Tshuva is not so happy with this. Pizchei Tshuva, Sivkan Aleph, he says, well, Ayin Berhetev, take a look, Berhetev's job is usually to quote, mostly he'll quote, the main Nosa Kalim. So he quotes the Bahaitiv, summarizes Beishmuel. So that's a way of saying Ayin Beishmuel. But then he says the Chavas Yair. Well, he says, then there are others who get involved. So a couple lines down, sorry, not the Chavas Yair. I mashkaza Bahaitiv b'shem HaPrisha, that our writers includes Chayvei Lavin, Ayin Shar HaMelech, one of the. Sorry. Ayin Shar HaMelech. Who has what to say about this? Pikpek Alzer. He's not so happy. He's not so happy. So what's the whole discussion? What's the whole discussion? What's the whole discussion? So there are two or three problems with this. There are a number of There are a number of the Shar HaMelech is commenting on the Mabit. The Mabit, fascinating history behind the Mabit. The Mabit lived in Sfat. He lived in Yerushalayim. Mabit, I believe, was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef and the Arizal. That whole chevra lived in Tzvat. The 1500s, the Mabit was one of the few who lived in Yerushalayim. There were a lot of halachic debates between the Beis Yosef and Mabit. The Mabit, like the Beis Yosef, wrote a running commentary on the Rambam called the Kiryas Sefer. The Kiryas Sefer was never as popular as the Beis Yosef's Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah is very much meat and potatoes. He gives you Gemaras. And sometimes Kashas, he gives you Gemaras, basic Rishon and Rashba. The Kiryas Sefer has much, a lot of, called Pilpul. There's a different style. But the Mabit disagrees with the Prisha. If you look in this Shar HaMelech on the bottom of the Mabit that the Pesach Shul is quoting, so he says, can you think about this for a moment? You're bringing me external proof, which is interesting. And you say, well, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah is mashma that Arayus includes Chayav Lavan. And the Gemara in Sota, and this is more recent, Chaznish, that is a very strong proof. But going back to, what's the best way to figure out what's included in Issa D'Oraisa? What's the most foundational, central way to figure out what's included in Issa D'Oraisa? To look at the Oraisa, right? Look at the Chumash. And we had a drasha from a pasuk. What was a drasha? It's the only hook to hang your hat on is, well, I have a pasuk that's mashma. Okay, it's not pshul shamikra, but a drasha gemur D'Oraisa according to most Rishonim. That was mashma that there is an Isser Yichud min HaTorah. What was the drasha?
Ben is mutter, right?
Mesis. And specifically, what we see by Mesis?
Ben is mutter.
The son is mutter with the mother. Sure, the son is mutter with the mother. The father is mutter with the daughter. However you read, you draw it from the psukim. The point is, well, they are mutter with each other, despite the fact that apparently it normally should have been usser. But because of the nature relationship, the nature of the erotically neutral relationship, the non-erotic relationship between parents and children, so that's why in that case is mutter as opposed to any other parallel situation with an usser. So just curious, Mabit says, well, what's the nature of the isser between parents and children? That is a real arayos. That's an isser kares. So the only drush you have is that Issachar says no Issachar Yichud, but some other Issachar says no Issachar Yichud. Where would the Pasuk even indicate? Where would the Pasuk even indicate Chayav Lavan? Where would the Pasuk even indicate Chayav Lavan? So he says, look at the most basic source, there's nothing to talk about. And then he goes right there. He says, and let me demolish the Prisha's Raya. What was the Prisha's Raya? Chayav Lavan must be included because with the Gemara and Avodah Zarah jumped from Arayos down to Pruya. Why didn't it stop at Chayav Lavan? So he says, what does the Rambam say about Pruya? What's the nature of the Isser of premarital relations? Rambam is clear. That it's an Isser Aseh and an Isser Lav. The Rambam says explicitly, as we began to our last time, look in the Gilgal Hilchos Ishos, the Rambam is clear that to have relations outside of marriage, even if there's no other status. She's not married to anyone else, she's not a Nida, they're not related to each other, not a Mamzeres, no other issue. They could get married, but they haven't. So what's the Isser? So the Rambam is clear. They violated Naseh D'Oraisa and Alav. He says, number one, you mevatel the mitzvah of Kiddushin. The mitzvah of Kiddushin is a mitzvah to have an intimate relationship within the context of marriage. So if there's no marriage, that's a bitul aseh of Kiddushin. And number two, it's a lav of Kadesha. That's how the Rambam understands the lav of Kadesha. It's in line with the Targum Unklus, maybe, that's what Kadesha means. So he says, the Gemara did jump from Arayos to Chayav Lavan. The example of Chayav Lavan that we gave was Pinuya. That's an example of Chayv Elavim. There are other Chayv Elavim too. You could layer on another Isser. If they did get married, but some Mamzeres to Yisrael, so even though they're married, it's not Isser Pinuya, but it's still Isser Mamzeres, and so on and so forth. But the Gemara did give an example, the most common example of Chayv Elavim, which is Pinuya. So he says, I don't understand the Raya from Avodah Zarah at all. Doesn't see the Raya from Avodah Zarah at all.
I thought you were going where to go with Sota the same thing. There's no Pusik. There's no Pusik to support that Gemara either, Rebbe.
Yeah, so the Gemara is trying to make drushes from Sota, so that's a little bit more challenging. What are you going to do with that? There, I think some of the more recent Svarim, I think the Divrei Sofer, Rav Yavrov maybe, makes this point, and maybe, I don't know if the Dvar Halacha really makes this point. Sota might be a little bit different. Sota might be, you're right, we don't have a source for Yichud Sota, but the Gemara seems to be assuming, the Gemara Sota does seem to be assuming that Yichud Sota is the Raisa. So this gets us into deeper waters, and the nature of Yisra Sota might be a little different than other Chayve Lavin. Shechter has a beautiful article in Eretz HaTzvi where he suggests that the Isser Sota is not just an independent Isser, it's a marriage gone awry. Several rayas, certain halachic aspects of a marriage. If a woman's a Sota, she's still married to her husband. She's going to need to get to marry anyone else. Most other halachic aspects of marriage are technically still in force. It shows that there are a number of halachic aspects of marriage that degrade once a woman is a mezana. It not just emotionally, but halachically corrodes the marriage. And so the Isser Sota or Baila might be a little different than a typical Isser Lav. Isser of Mamzeres Yisrael or Kohen Lagusha is just an independent, freestanding Isser Bia Balav. Pnuya as well. Here it may be, it's almost like a branch of Eishas Ish. The Isser Sota is like almost like a weak form of Eishas Ish. Because it's like the Znos, the Stia, the Eishas, her act of Niyaf sort of halachically twists and distorts, misshapes the marriage. So it's almost, one could understand that the lav of Sota is more than just a regular lav. It's almost like a chatzi shir of Eishes Ish, something of that sort. The Sota to her own husband. So if you say that, then that will...
You could also say that she's... Just like we see that the Chumash makes a differentiation of the gradations by the sun, even though it's a clear Isser Erva, but it's sort of like saying psychologically that's not subject to Arias. Okay, I would say that by the Sota, since she allowed herself to go into Stira already, this was all created by her going into a Yichud. So therefore, it was all created by her going into a Yichud. So it's you can't learn anything else from that. For other cases of Yichud.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That we're going to come back to very soon. I want to come back soon to explore the relationship between the Yichud of a Sota and general Isser Yichud. That we're going to come to very soon in the next piece of Gemara.
Okay.
So what do we have so far? You're making an important point that we're going to unpack more soon. What do we have so far? Yichud Arayas Alpi Pashas is the Raisa. And we see a machlokas achronim. Does yichud arayos include yichud of chayv elav? And also chayv elav aren't arayos in the typical sense. And maybe yichud is an exception. Maybe yichud is an exception to the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. That was a position of the Prisha, the Beis Shmuel according to the Prisha, and the Chazar Nish. And the Chacham Zadim says this also. That should be noted. The Chacham Zadim in the opening lines of is Hilchot Yichud Klal Kuf Chavav, and the opening lines of Klal Kuf Chavav, he very casually says, is this a Yichud Daraisa with Arayos or with Chayv Elavin? So he's assuming also, wholeheartedly accepting this Prisha and Beishmuel. And the Chazon Ish accepts that based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah that sounded like, maybe sounds like Arayos includes Chayav Lavan based on the Gemara in Sota. And the Chazon Ish is Gemara in Sota. That Yichud with a Sota is in it, a husband with his wife who's a Sota, Yichud with Ishto Sota is Daraisa. On the other hand, Pesach Chuvarei Kor, that the Mabit is pushing back. And others push back the rayas aren't so strong, especially according to the Rambam that Pnuya is an Chayav Lavan. If anything, the Gemara says Beferis that Yichud Chayav Lavan is Rabbanan. The Gemara said that Yichud Pnuya is Rabbanan. And also, number Achronim point that if you look in Rishonim, there are three major Rishonim who seem to say clearly that Yichud Chayav Lavan is Rabbanan. The Rambam himself.
Well, the Rambam has to say it because he says Yichud alone is Darabana.
Well, okay.
How can the Rambam say that Yichud Tanuya is going to be Daraisa when Yichud with an Ishish may be only Darabana?
That's a good point. But at the very least, even the Rambam will agree that there was a Koriser and then lower level Isur, right? Whether you see that Koriser as being Daraisa or a very, very ancient Darabanan. You see even the Gemara of Odazara that this Isser is older, significantly older than David HaMelech. So either it's an Isser or it's a really old Isser Rabbanan. So wherever you're going to place it, so the Rambam's language about the first Gezerah is Gazru, Davbe Zinu, Gazru is Yichud Penuya, Afal Pisha Eina Erva, Bechlal Yichud Arayos. It really sounds like, and Lishitaso, that Penuya is Chayav Lavan, and it sounds like the original Isser of Yichud Arayos means Arayos Mamash. And then Devar Halacha points out there's a Rashba and a Rush, who also both are clear that Yichud Chayav Lavan is the Rabbanan, that Rashba that we already quoted in the Tshuva, and the Rush, it's hard to find, I think it's in the Maamar Kamos, the Rush at the end of Maseches Nida has a quick review of Hilchas Nida. Heilach Hilchas Nida b'Katzara. So if you read slowly and carefully, he says pretty clearly that Yichud Chayav Lavan is Rabban. So it's a Pashtus. Pashtus is, you have several major Rishonim. The Chikri Lev points this out. Chikri Lev is a Sephardi Tshuva Sefer. I believe he's an Egyptian. So the Dvar Halacha sends you that way. Okay, so this is an open question whether Yichud Chayav Lavan is Daraisa Rabbanan. Either way, it is Aser. But that's an interesting question, and also relates to what extent does this fit in to this all the other siyagim of Arayos. Al pi Pashtus, it does. Now I want to take a look at Gemara. It looks like it's talking about a couple of details, and it is talking about details, but it's also addressing us to some pretty big questions about the nature of Yichud. So let's take a look. We have a Gemara. Take a look and pay Aleph Amid Aleph. If not, worry not. If you have a Gemara, you can take a peek. We are going to come back to the last week we were looking at Pei Amid Beis. Now we're jumping temporarily to Alpha and Alpha, but we are going to fill in with Shem the space in between.
It's in the sources,
right?
This
isn't the normal code. See, it's like 12 lines down or so, Pei Alpha and Alpha. Amar Rav. Malkan al Yichud is a little letter base of the Amish for Nimitzin. Malkan al Yichud ain't Osral Yichud. Rav made the following comment. If a couple violates Yichud, a man and woman violate Yichud, so they're going to get Malkus, but Ein Osir Al Yichud, but we don't create an Easter based on Yichud. Rashi is only Ein Osirin, Eishas Ish Al Baila Machmas Yichud. The married woman is secluded with another man, we don't say you're a Sota Safek, and a Safek Eishas Ish Zinsay can no longer... remain with your husband? No. As we said before, stira only creates a sota status if it was preceded by a kinut. But absent that, as the Gemara says, sota. That combination of kinui and steer creates what the Gemara calls raglai and ladavar. This is, the thing has legs. This is already, you know, we don't know for sure what happened, but it's a really strong likelihood. But stira alone without a preceding kinoi is aser, typically. That's the iser of yichud. Unless there's some factor to make it mutter. It's aser. It was wrong to do it. They were not permitted to enter into stira. But we don't say retrospectively that that now we're going to assume that she's a sota stira lebayis. So this Rav is really addressing himself to what's the aftermath of yichud. Most of the sugyas here are a question of lechatchila. Am I allowed to be alone in this way or not? But Rav is asking, assuming that you did violate Yichud, what's the aftermath? So he says, there will be a penalty, there will be a punishment of Malkus, but there won't be any status of Isser that that flows as a result. The Ravashi says, well, lo amaran ella b'yichud pnuya. When you said, when Rav, one of the early Amoraim, said Malkan HaYichud, he was talking about a case where she is a penuya, where she is the woman in question is not married. But Yichud Eishazish, lo, shlo te moti laz al bonaha. They deserve Malkus for having violated Yichud. This we see in the Rama Kor, this is a Malkus Marcus. Okay, it's not Malkus Daraisa. It wasn't, there's no lav of Yichud. So they deserve Malkus Marcus as a punishment for violating Yichud. But we can't. If she's a married woman, we can't deliver that punishment. Why? So Rashi explains that Malkus is public knowledge. So everyone's going to hear that she got Malkus, and they're going to assume that she must have been intimate with this man. 9 months later, she has a baby, tongues will wag. We don't know that she was intimate with him. She violated Yichud. Yichud itself is an aveir, regardless of whatever else happened. She was getting an onesh for the violation of Yichud. But Ravashi says it's too dangerous. We were very, very concerned. That comes up, those of you who learned Gittin recently in Daf Yomi, you saw that several times. Shlo lehotzi laz al Gittin Rishon, shlo lehotzi laz al Boneha. It came up throughout Seder Nashim, and it comes up here at the end of Kiddushin. So that's a terrible risk to take. That children's lives will be ruined because people like to talk and people like to make up stories. They have, they're very, very, very sensitive to that. So Rashi says, in theory, there should be a punishment of Makas Margus for Yichud, regardless of what the people's status is. But whenever she's a married woman, and there's a possibility that she's just became pregnant, about to become pregnant from her husband, we can't risk giving her Makas. The Marzutra Malki Omachis. Marzutra, his practice was he would give Malkus and they would make an announcement. They would announce that we're giving Malkus because of Yichud. So Rav Nachman of Parhatia, and a more we don't hear of often, he turns to Rav Ashi and says, hey, it's a great idea. Mar nami lil kivilachris. Why don't you do that? You're so worried, he says to Rav Ashi, you told us in Shir you can't give Malkus if a married woman violates Yichud because Shol Hotzi Laz, the great solution, communicate. Give the Malkus, but make a public announcement that the Malkus is punishment for Yichud, not a punishment for Znus. We have no evidence. And Rashi said, Bubala. Ikad Sham Baha, Lo Sham Baha. Right? How many people heard, how many views were there on the false tweet, and how many views were there on the retraction? Not the same. People like rumors. So this is a different type of rumor, but this can ruin someone's life in a different type of way. Many more people will hear the salacious news that couple got Malkus than the clarification, even though the announcement is being made simultaneously, but the news of the Malkus will get around the world before the news of the clarification gets its shoes on. What's that expression? Something like that? Yeah.
Rumor gets halfway around the world before you put your pants on.
Yeah, something like that. So the Rashi says this is not a good idea.
And even if they do hear the clarification, they may say it's a hedge.
Right.
There's no evidence,
and that in fact is true. That in fact is true. We don't know that they were not Mazana. So that may also be right. We don't. we need to take care of that. We don't need to share that information unnecessarily.
The other alternative solution would be to just give him Makos Maridus in private.
Why we don't do that, I'm not sure. We don't. We don't do that. I'm not sure. I generally do Davka give Malchus in public. And also, I'm not sure that's really viable to pull those off. That should be private. The news will get around. Even if it's not done as a public event. Now, both of these points, they talk about this Gemara on two levels. Number one, just in terms of the machlok, which show them how to understand, how to interpret each of these, how to be mefarish each of these two dinim, the Malkan HaYichud and the Ein Osrin HaYichud. And then there's a larger point that flows from it. Number one, Tosis points out that Rashi said Malkan HaYichud means we give Malkas to a single woman. Because Rashi said we don't give Malkas to a married woman. The Ein Osrin HaYichud means we don't deem a married woman who had Yichud to be an Eshes Eshezinsa. Tosis points out that's very awkward phrasing. If she's a pnuya, then Malkan Yichud. If she's a Shazish, Ein Osrin Yichud. That's what Tosfos calls Lutzatim Katani. You have a pair of dinim that seem to flow. It seem to be just two halachic comments on the same case, but Rashi said the Torah had two different cases.
That's what the Gemara did. Rav Ashi then took that line and said that's only Yichud pnuya.
Right.
So Rashi probably felt that. If Rav Ashi commented that, it's going on the
Right. So Rav Ashi is right. So Rashi, let's try to say this clearly. Rashi, the Rishon, is saying, look, Rav Ashi did it because Rav Ashi took the first half of Rav and said Malkan HaYichud is only referring to Pnuya, not to Eshes Ish. What Tosis's solution though is to say Rav Ashi took the first half of Rav and said Malkan HaYichud is only Pinuya. But what forced Rashi, the Rishon, to say that Ein Osal Yichud talk about only Eishas Ish? Tosa says, you talk about Eishas Ish, but there is an Isser that's a consequence of Znos in the Pinuya context as well. Tosa thinks that Ein Osal Yichud applies both to married women and to single women. How so? So a married woman was Mazana, so that creates a Sota status. A single woman who's a mazana is not going to create a sota status, but it could create the status of zona l'kohen. Again, the dinim of zona, for those who remember, they're yevamos and kiddushin, so that's somewhat complex. And big machlokes rishonim exactly which acts of znus will render the female participant asur l'kohen. The psukim say in emor that a kohen is forbidden to marry a grusha or a halala or a zona. So exactly who's called a zona is a good question. Many situations, let's say for instance, I think it's pretty universally accepted that if a Jewish woman is mezana with a nachri, she from that point on has the status of a zona who's a surah l'kohen. So Tosa said that's also what we're talking about. If a married woman was misyacheres, we're not going to say she's a sota or a labailo. And if even a single woman was misyacheres with a nachri or someone else with whom Bia would render her a zona, we don't assume that she's a zona l'kohen. We have no direct evidence that she was mazana. We just know that she violated yichud. Yichud itself is an avera, and for that she'll get malkan al yichud. Well, we'll give her malkus if she's a rav Ashi says only if she's a pnuya. But even though we're giving her malkus. Even though we're giving her malchus, we're not going to turn around and say, and we know that you were mazana with him, and therefore you have you're asur l'kohen. No. Ein osrin al ha'yichud. Ein osrin al ha'yichud. Let's take a look at how this plays out in Shulchan Aruch.
Does that mean...
And then there's a larger comment, one or two larger comments to make. Yeah.
Does that mean, according to Rashi, we would asur pnuya on the coin?
I'm not sure that...
The fact that he does not spell that out?
Not sure necessarily. I'm not sure. Tosfos themselves get back into sugya in Ksuvos and say, well, it's not so clear. Is this correct? Is it not correct? But it could be that Rashi is giving an example. The strongest and most obvious example, if she's an Eish HaZish, then there's no with anyone. Makes her a sota Bible. Let's take a look at the way Shulchan Aruch quotes this, and then let's be misboning on the implications. Sif Beis. We will mention in the next Ma'ar Makomos, in the next week, coming week, we'll get back to Sif Aleph and to the issues of parents and children and Nida and so on and so forth. But for now, we're rooted in Sif Beis. Kishe'era Masa is also based on the language of the Rambam. Kishe'era Masa Amnon V'samar Gazer Dava Beis Dino Yichud Penuya. Af Bishe'ena Erva Bichlal Yichud Arayosi. Okay. And then Shaim V'Hillel goes on Yichud Nachris, or here you have the censored version, Kusis. Nimsa Kol HaMisyachim Ishus Ashus Yachedi Ma Ben Yisraelis Ben Nachris Makin Hashneim Makas Mardus, Ha'ish Va'isha U'machriz Aleihem. You give Makas Mardus, and we are Machriz. Notice anything interesting?
Why would it be Makas Mardus?
Ah, good. So that was one of the riots that some had, one indication that some had seen that, rather I'm saying Makas Mardus, it must be, that means that the Isser is only Drabanan. The pushback is the Rambam often will talk about Makas Mardus on Isurim Daraisa, because Malkus Daraisa, not every din Daraisa carries with it Malkus Daraisa. Malkus Mardus means that the owners of Drabanan. You can have an owners of Drabanan on din Daraisa because Malkus Daraisa has a number of parameters, one of which is you have to have violated a law. It means the Befer Shapas Chumash says, do not do this. There's no pasuk in the Chumash that says, do not have stira. The implication of the pasuk is that you shouldn't be doing this. But there's no direct... So the owner is definitely Rabbanan, and the Isser may be the Raisa. But there's something else, the two-word phrase in the Shulchan
Aruch.
Yeah, Machrizin. Why is Machrizin halacha? I thought Ravashi rejected Machrizin. Yeah? And he didn't say anything about people who are married. As a matter of fact, the Machaber goes on to say, Chutz Meish is Ish. Skipping the Rama for a moment. Afa Pish Asle Isachedima in Nisyached in Lokin. Shalo Hotzi Lazal Eshazinsa. Vinimtsim Hotzi in Lazal Bonen Shem Amzerim. He passes like Ravashi against Rav Nachum Miparhatia. We do not give Malkus to an Ish is Ish. The risk of Shol Hotzi Lazal Banach, Rahman Slan, it's too great a risk to incur. So why do you say Machrizin? Yeah. Where did Machrizin come from? Hey, Shol Hotzi Lazal Banach, both sides of the mouth. We don't give Malkus to Ish is Ish, but we're Machriz. What's going on?
Well, it's Machriz for
non-Ish. Oh, Givaldik. So here's the other. I said there are two machloks in the among that we've shown him in terms of how you mafarish the Gemara. One was machlokas Rashi and Tosos, maybe machlokas Rashi and Tosos, in terms of does Ein Osterin is about Eish HaZish, Ein Osterin is about the Penuya in terms of Zon Lokoin. The other machlokas is this whole about Lokin and Machrizin. See, Rashi said that Marzutra had a solution to Ravashi's problem. Rashi says, Marzutra Malki al Yichud Eish HaZish. And he had a solution. Rav Nachum Barhatia said to Rashi, hey, did you hear about Marzutra's solution? And Rashi says, I don't think it's a good solution. The Rambam, however, and that's what the Gra points out, the Gra in Sifkan Aleph here, on the Gemara, Marzutri Malki Machers, Pirish HaRambam Dekoya Penuya. In other words, Marzutra wasn't disagreeing with Rashi. Marzutra had a general practice. He was always machriz on Malkus. He was always machriz on Malkus. Why was he always machriz on Malkus? Why was he always machriz on Malkus? So that's a little bit of a debate. Either it was a double punishment, Now that we're going to give you the ownership of Malkus, then we'll also publicize. We're going to embarrass you too, to boot. And that will teach you not to be Mesiacheres again. Or, Chalkas Machokig says,
in all instances of Malkus, or just in Yichud?
Yes,
I was going to ask. No, only Malkus of Yichud. The Chalkas Machokig says it's L'tova Sa. It's for her benefit. He points out that this is the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch aren't following Rashi. It's a Hachraza and a Priya. And he says, no. In other words, also, we don't want... We want a limit, not that we're adding to the punishment. It's daf, and this addresses your point. Why all of a sudden does Yichud get the added punishment? So the Mechaz says, no, we're trying to limit the damage control. We need to give you Malkus. You violate Yichud, you deserve Malkus. On the other hand, we don't want tongues to wag that you've done worse than you have. Even if there's no concern of children becoming Amzeir, we still would rather protect your reputation as much as possible. So we'll do whatever damage control we're going to do. We're going to give Malkus. But we'll specify clearly what we know and what we don't know. We're only giving Malkus because of Yichud. We have no evidence to indicate anything further. So according to the Rambam, the Shak V'Tari is a little different. Maharaj Ritter wasn't disagreeing with Rav. Rav Nachman Bar Parhatia was. Rav Nachman Bar Parhatia said, Maharaj Ritter wasn't disagreeing with Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi did for the Priyos. He always gave Malkus, always did Achraza when he gave Malkus on Yichud. But Rav Nachman Bar Parhatia said to Rav Ashi, one second, Maharaj Ritter's idea, it's a solution to your problem. I know that he does Malkus on Yichud in general, Malkus with Achraz Yichud in general. Hey, wouldn't that solve your problem? Rav Ashi said, no, according to the Rambam. Maharaj Ritter it's a nice idea to protect the Panuyos as much as possible with the Achraza, but it's not sufficient protection for Eish HaZesh. Because Eish HaZesh is not just a question of her own reputation. It's a question of people claiming that her kids are Mamzerim. That already, Hachraza isn't sufficient protection.
Fits very nicely with the Gemara in Sanhedrin.
That what?
Because the Gemara says, what, it has this whole this weird kavachomer that the girls had. If it happens to the queen, the princess, it could happen to us.
Right.
So it kind of protects that, because it's like, what do you mean? It is, if your machra is that there's only yichud happen, it wasn't real zinus, that helps protect the girls.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they're concerned about that their reputations are going to be, okay, their reputation
that fits nicely.
And so it fits in very nicely with the Gemara, then how does what with the Kalchomer?
That fits nicely.
What's the bystander? What's from the bystander's perspective? What's the alternative? You think that she had novella or something, but
no, they'll hear that it was something sexual in nature. And I was like giving a Malkus to this guy and that girl.
But if it's Eishes Ish, then she wouldn't get Malkus. If there were Edom and Asra that it was Nus, she wouldn't get Malkus.
Yeah, that's true. Then there'd be a Chiyuv Misa. Yeah, that's a good point. The answer probably is much the same as what we said about the Achraza. They'll say,
it's hard to find something that
didn't one of the sources say that Basin can issue death penalties instead of Malkus?
Who said that?
Yeah. I thought it was the Beis Yosef.
They
can't give
Misa, so instead they give Malkus. Oh, that's interesting. We're talking about Amoraim here. We're talking about Amoraim.
I thought it was in the Beis Yosef before. Because remember he quoted that person. They didn't talk about whether you believe her or not.
Yeah, that's what I want to wrap up with, the Rivash and the Marik.
Yeah.
Malkum Latova Ashmua. I'm not sure who says that, but that is the Prisha says it. Shiyom Ra'ua Shizinsa, Lakach Hilkum, Va'idna Lakamisis Bezin Lemiktalinu. That's interesting. There's Bezman Azem. These are all Amoraim talking. It's Rav and Ravashi and so forth. Oh, it's Rashi. I'm sorry. That priest is quoting Rashi. Priest says Rashi raises this. Shiyomru or Shazimsa, Lakachel Kuav, Idna Lakimiz Bezin, make the limits. Rashi. It's Rashi. It's Rashi. It's Rashi. He'll say, yeah, so they're giving him Makas Marjus because of Niyaf.
They don't have the authority to do
this. Right. Christmas. Right. Right. The Mises Bezin ended when the Sanhedrin Hagadol left the Makam Mikdash. It was decades before the Churban Bais. That's a thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. Thank you for pointing that out. So one larger Hezbonus, and this leads to the discussion the Rivash, the Marik, that the Beis Yosef has and that the Ramah quotes in the page Shulchan Aruch. Zooming out from the details of Lokan ala Malka Yichud and Osher al Yichud, is what the Gemara is saying Bigadol is the following. The Gemara is saying Bigadol is that Yichud is Aser. On the one hand, Yichud is Aser even if no Znos occurred. Malka Yichud. Yichud itself was a violation. Again, assessing whether a given situation falls under the rubric of Yichud or not, as we've already begun to see in the Mishnah, we're going to continue to see as we progress through the Gemara, obviously there's a certain question of risk assessment. There are cases where the situation is diffused enough, there is no Yisr Yichud. But in a case where there is an Yisr Yichud, or given the parameters of the situation, the Yisr Yichud, to have Yichud is Asr. I can't defend myself, well, I didn't do anything worse. Okay, it's good. It's good you didn't do anything worse. But Yichud itself is Asr regardless of what did or did not occur in seclusion. Yichud itself is a Maisa Isr. It's an Isr that deserves an onus. At the same time, Yichud is Asr because of a possibility that it will lead to Chet, but not a probability that Chet occurred. In other words, Ein Osr LaYichud is essentially pointing out a situation will be Asr B'Yichud because it is a small miut of such situations that lead to Znos. So L'Chadchila, prospectively, you say you're not allowed to enter that room, you're not allowed to enter that seclusion, because there's a, whatever the number was giving the making of numbers last time, 5% chance that such a situation leads to Znos. Okay, so then you're not allowed to enter lechatchila, in the literal sense. Am I allowed to enter? No. If I entered, did I do an Aveira? Yes. Why is that situation Aser? Because 5% of such situations leads to Znos. So the fact that there's a significant miut of cases that a significant miut percentage of such seclusion scenarios lead to Znus is enough to render it an Isser Yichud. But we're not going to say that in retrospect, once Yichud occurred, probably Znus occurred also. No, Ein Osrim al Yichud, because most probably Znus did not occur. We're not, that's what the larger point the Gemara is making, is saying that a situation in Isser Yichud is not equivalent to saying such situations probably lead to Znus. No, such situations probably do not lead to Znus. There's only a small minority of such situations that lead to Znos. And that's why, on the one hand, a Hakula, on the other hand, the Chumrah. On the one hand, the Kula, that the aftermath of Yichud is not an assumption of Znos. We're not going to say she's a Zona Lekohen. We're not going to say that she's a Sotel Lebailo. On the other hand, it's a Chumrah Lechatchila, because the standard, the bar you have to reach to be Matya Yichud is a higher bar. It's not enough to say, well, this situation probably won't lead to Znos, and therefore it's Mutter. No. The bar is much more than just saying it's less than 50%. It has to be very, very, very low. Despite the fact that in retrospect, we would not assume that Znos occurred. It probably did not occur, and yet it's still us. And that's why the Ramah quotes, as the Beis Yosef does, that neither can we assume that Znus probably occurred for the sake of deeming her a Zona Lekohen or Sota Bailo, nor can she sue for paternity based on Yichud alone. There's no proof of paternity just because she had Yichud with this fellow, and the married woman had Yichud with this fellow, and then 9 months later has a child. We don't have evidence that they're intimate. All we have is Yichud. Again, Sotel Bailo requires more than Stira. Sotel Bailo requires Kinui and Stira. That's why the Machabras, the Ramah quotes, Rivash Marik, that this is not alone sufficient evidence to establish paternity. However, he says it is sufficient evidence to. We can talk about lechatchila. We're not going to talk about bidyeved. We're not going to say, mistamaznus occurred and therefore she has paternity rights. But we will say, if she's uncomfortable and she can show there's a concern, so then we will issue a restraining order. And that's what the last line of the Rama is essentially talking about. And the Rivash is clear that Beis Yosef gives her a longer version of the Rivash. You have a fellow who seems to be a stalker, so the woman can sue him in Beisin, and Beisin will look through the evidence. If there's evidence that he's harassing her, we'll issue a restraining order. We'll put him into Nido. He's not allowed to get anywhere near her. So, yeah, that's consistent with the concept that the Gemara is already painting, the Malka Yichud and Oswan Yichud, that Yichud doesn't create a presumption that most probably is Zuz occurred. But at the same time, that also means that you don't need a presumption that Yichud Zuz will probably occur in order to create an Isra Yichud. Yichud is Aser, Kishal Atmo, even based on a much smaller risk than that. Mitzvah next time, we're going to go on to explore questions of Yichud within the family. It's the heter of aim in Bina and Av and Bito, see how that are the various ramifications of that. Also want to explore the question of a husband and wife when she's a Nida. That will bring us back to that Gemara in Sota.